So today we'll be starting a series called What is Important to God? And we'll be looking today at His name. His name. His name is important to God. Now oftentimes we think of that which is important to us. When we were lost, the things of the world, for we who believe, when we were lost, the things of the world were the most important things for us and to us. I know. That consumed. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm redeemed, born again of the Holy Spirit of God, the things of God are the most important thing to me. Christ. And I want to know what things are important to God. I want to know that. Because what's important to Him is important to His people. It's important to His people. So in this short series, I'd like us to look at that which is important to God. And as I said earlier, in no way are we going to plumb the depths. This is so vast. Everything about God is so vast. We just scratch the surface. But we just rejoice when we do. We rejoice at what He reveals to us. So it's important for us to consider subjects from the Word of God that are important to Him. That are important to God. Now these six subjects are His name, His glory, His Word, His grace, His Son, and His people. And this morning I was thinking, and His holiness, and His righteousness. These are things that are important to God. Important to Him. And so when something is important, we tend to consider it. When something's important to us, we tend to consider it a lot, don't we? We consider it a lot. We ponder it. We give it our full attention. And we will see from Scripture that these subjects are important to God. And we always go to the Scriptures. We don't want our opinion. We want to see from God's Word what He has to say. We don't formulate what we believe upon our own opinions. We believe what we believe because the Scriptures say. And how it's revealed in the Scripture. And it's precious to us, beloved. It's precious to us. And we know that God's ways are unsearchable. They're unsearchable. They're depthless. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would give us an understanding from the Scriptures. So turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 33. And then also put your finger in Exodus chapter 3. We'll be going there shortly. But Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. So let's consider that His name is important to us. His name. And let us think this. Our name, what does our name do? Our name identifies who we are. It identifies who we are. Well, God's name identifies who He is. Who He is. With our name, you can find out where we were born. You can find out where we live. Because we're identified by our names. Look at Exodus 33:19, and He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And we know that all His goodness is in Christ. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Jehovah, the self-existent one, before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So here in our text, we have the Lord's name, Jehovah. Jehovah. And this identifies who He is. The self-existent one. The one who needs no one or nothing. God over all. The one who spoke everything into existence. The one who gives us the very breath that we breathe. Jehovah. The Lord. His name represents all His attributes. His nature. His perfections. And the glory of them. And beloved, let us remember that all these attributes are displayed in Christ. In Him. He's God incarnate in the flesh. So His name, though, Jehovah, identifies the self-existent one. And the Hebrew says the self-existent one or eternal one. His name identifies who He is. He's not like us. He's the eternal one. We're finite beings. We live and breathe and die. Now those of us who trust Christ will go to be with Him for eternity, but only because of what Christ has done. So He's the self-existent one. And the name Jehovah implies every perfection of the divine nature. And they're all in Him. They're all in Him, beloved. Here we see before us God identifying Himself as the Eternal One. And note, He has to reveal Himself to us for us to even know Him. The Scripture is so emphatic. There's none that seeketh after God. None. None. There's none righteous. But if the shepherd seeks the sheep, we will willingly come to Christ. And we do. Because we're born again by the Holy Spirit. Again, what comes first? Faith or regeneration? Regeneration. Faith is a gift of God. You must be born again. You must be. But here He identifies Himself. He identifies Himself as the absolute sovereign over all the universe. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. He identifies Himself to Moses as I am that I am, the great I am, the self-existent one, the Ancient of Days. He's all-knowing, all-seeing. He dwells in eternity. That's what Scripture calls Him, the Eternal One. In the Hebrew, as I said, Jehovah is translated the self-existent or eternal one. He's eternal. He's God. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And then actually put your finger in Joshua 2, Joshua 5. But look at this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, He identifies Himself. He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord Jehovah, there, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. So He identifies Himself right here to Moses. Turn, if you would, over to Joshua chapter 5. He identifies Himself to Joshua. And I believe this is a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, right here before us. In Joshua chapter 5, and that was, we know who appeared to him in the burning bush. It was our great King. Look at this in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. He proclaims who He was to Joshua. Joshua 5, 13 to 15. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now remember, Joshua was a man of war. And he's looking at Jericho. They're going to go. They're ready to besiege it. He's a man of war. And our Lord appears to him. Look at this. A man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And look at this response. He said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Now remember, it was holy ground. Holy ground in Exodus chapter 3. Look at this. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The captain of the Lord's host, that's my Savior. That's Christ. There it is. Captain of the Lord's host. Oh, did he not stay at the cross? Or did he not say to his disciples that I could call legions of angels? Oh, what a Savior. So he identifies who he is. He identifies himself with the Joshua as the captain of the host of the Lord. And his name identifies who he is. It proclaims that he is Lord over all, beloved. The self-existent one. The one who has no beginning. And the one who has no end, the eternal one. Jehovah, the eternal. It identifies who he is. Psalm 102, verses 4 to 7, if you want to turn there, you can. It says this, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. For they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax like old, like a garment, as a vesture. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. He's the eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we're so secure in Him too. Think of that. Those He saves, He keeps. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Thou art the same. He's the everlasting, the I Am, the unchanging one. He's immutable in His nature and in His perfections, beloved. And this speaks of Christ, who is God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. His name speaks of His love and His affections to His people, and His power to protect and keep us, in His wisdom to guide and direct us, in His righteousness to clothe us and to render us. What does He do? What does Christ do? He renders us acceptable to God, doesn't He? He renders us acceptable to God. His blood cleanses us from what? Some of our sins? You know, the way some people act, I'm sure glad that God doesn't forgive sins like others sometimes do against us. God says all your sins are forgiven. All. A-L-M. They're all cleansed. They're all covered by the precious blood of Christ. Oh my. And Christ speaks peace and pardon to His people. Peace and pardon to His people. He fully supplies them all that we need, right? What does Scripture say? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's for us. His salvation is full. His salvation is complete. And it's in Christ and Him alone. And this is who we preach. This is when we get up in the pulpit. We preach and proclaim a successful Savior, a finished work. Just look to Him. He did it all. There's nothing dependent upon us. It's all what Christ has done. And we're made willing. We who believe are made willing. And we flee to Christ, born again of the Holy Spirit of God. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And who gets all the glory? He gets it all. He gets it all. And we just rejoice. We say, glory to Your name, Lord. You're so precious to us. You're so precious to us. So we see from Scripture that the name of God identifies who He is. And He reveals Himself through Scripture, doesn't He? He reveals Himself through Scripture. His Holy Spirit teaches us. And He's God. God, the Holy Spirit, is God too. And He teaches us and reveals to us. Scripture says He won't speak of Himself. He reveals Christ. He reveals Christ to us. So His name, God's name, is important to Him. And it describes God as being Lord over all. He's Lord over all. Now, this is contrary to what men have cooked up in their minds, isn't it? Because men have cooked up in their minds a God who can't do anything without them. A God who's dependent upon them. But the Scripture plainly declares, we've seen, and as I said, the word Lord there is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one. He doesn't need us. But yet He's chosen to save a people, to manifest His glory and grace. And we who believe are recipients of that. And we marvel, don't we? Oh, what a great God. So the truth of the Scripture, even from His name, He identifies Himself as an absolute sovereign. His name identifies Himself as that. The eternal, the Ancient of Days, God over all, King of Kings, and what? Lord of Lords, and nothing that's not under Him. This is our Savior. This is our Redeemer. God is a trinity of persons, right? Turn, if you would, to 1 John 5:7. Look at this. God the Holy Spirit is fully God. God the Father is fully God. And God the Son is fully God. And the three are one. Look at 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And do you know that all three are involved in our salvation? All three. The Father chose us in turn. Christ died to redeem us from our sins. And the Holy Spirit regenerates and draws us to Christ. Perfect. Perfect. Those who deny the Trinity deny who God is. I had someone tell me one time that one of these TV guys that I know from doing a little research totally denies the Trinity. He tried to tell me the guy was a Christian. I said, you're lying to yourself. Scripture plainly shows us that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I brought up how they all are in action. So you deny the Trinity, you're denying who God is. Over in the New Testament, turn if you would to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We see this truth proclaimed in Scripture. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Are one. And we see this truth over in the New Testament too, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." There's our God. And also the words of our Master. Listen to this, John 10, 27 to 30. Look at this. God has sheep. God has sheep, and they hear His voice. And they know Him. And they follow Him. And who's the one Christ died for? He didn't die for everyone. He died for His people. He died for His sheep. Look at what Scripture declares here in John 10:27-30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Look at this. I and my Father are what? What great God is that for? Oh, the great three in one. Turn back, if you would, to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. And we'll look at verses 5-7. So God's identifying Himself in Scripture who He is. Did not Christ right there say that He's the Eternal One? Because if Him and the Father are one, that means He's the Eternal One. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And this is our Savior. Look at Exodus 34, verses 5-7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with them and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now this is the Lord proclaiming who He is. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. But look in verse 6. The Lord God. He identifies who He is. The Lord God. This title shows His glorious being. All powerful. All knowing. All seeing. He has all authority. And didn't Christ Himself say that He had all authority in the New Testament? Didn't He say that? Oh my. And look at the following attributes. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And also note, it's Jehovah who declares with a loud voice. It's Jehovah Himself who declares with a loud voice. Out of the cloud, His divine majesty. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. He proclaims who He is. He identifies Himself below. He identifies Himself. And what is proclaimed or declared concerning Himself? That He's merciful. That He's gracious. That He's long-suffering. That He's abundant in goodness and truth. This is all found in who He is. He's identified Himself, the Lord. God is merciful. He's rich and plenteous in mercy. Freely giving it. Freely giving mercy. He delights in bestowing it. And He constantly shows it to His people. And it's manifested and displayed in Christ alone. Our great God is gracious. He's good and kind. Without any merit or deserving on our part. So He's merciful. He's gracious to us. Without any merit from us. We have no merit. And He's done it freely. All according to His good will and giving us all grace and all spiritual blessings in Christ. By Christ being our substitute. By Christ justifying us. By His grace. By Him imputing His righteousness, His perfect righteousness to us. What a gracious God we have. By pardoning. A-L-L. All. Is that not gracious? Don't get what we deserve. But no, remember, we looked on Wednesday night that upon the children of disobedience falls the wrath and justice of God. But that which was meant for us as believers fell upon Christ. Justice extracted what it demanded. Oh, but in our great substitute, beloved, in our great substitute, He's gracious to His people, regenerating us, calling us, preserving us, and one day taking us home to God. He's long-suffering, both towards the wicked man, the vessels of wrath, and the vessels of honor. He's long-suffering towards us. His name is being abased and despised, yet He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering towards His elect, on whom He waits to be gracious in the time that He has appointed for them to be redeemed. Think of that. Now, you and I have talked about how we were before the Lord saved us. The mercy that He had upon us. I talked to many about that. God was gracious and merciful, long suffering to us, wasn't He? Right? And one day He had it. And you heard His voice. And what'd you do? You fall. Born again by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. That's what He does for everything. And He came to that tomb. Lazarus is such a picture of effectual calling. Lazarus! Lazarus is dead, beloved. That's our state. Comes and says, Lazarus, come forth. And what does Lazarus say? He can't do anything. He's dead, right? But now he's alive. And he comes forth, right? That's the power of God. That's a picture of us. Right there. Right there. And it's beautiful. And He's long-suffering before we're saved to us. Abundant in goodness and truth. In providential goodness to all men. In special goodness to His chosen people. Which He has laid up and wrought out for us. And showing us in Christ. And all our salvation is wrought out by Christ. And it's all in Him. What goodness. Abundant goodness and truth. He's showing we who believe. Oh, He saved us from all our sins. So, three quick points. Three quick points. I got 5 minutes. Three quick points. God's name is important to Him, and He commands Israel not to take His name in vain. In Leviticus 24:16, it says this, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death." I'm thankful God is long suffering. As He was to me. And this is a warning also, though, to us to not name, use His name loosely. He's not the man upstairs, as some flippantly say. He's the great I am. I am that I am. That's who He is. He's identified Himself. We who believe, He's identified Himself as, and is His name not precious to us? It's precious to us. Blasphemy is slander and insult against the Holy God as it's uttered with the intention to defame Him. His name is tossed around as a byword, and this expresses the hatred of those who do that. This expresses the hatred inward that they have. Oh, He's merciful, though, isn't He? He is merciful. So the blasphemy of God's name is an assault upon the holiness of God's name. Number two, then the Lord's name is to be published in praise. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4 says this, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, His work is perfect." Perfect. "For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He." So we as God's people are to publish and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we are to publish and proclaim salvation in Christ alone. And we do that. We send it out on the internet. Out it goes. We preach. Faithful men get up and preach the gospel whenever they're here, and I endeavor to preach the gospel as well as God allows me to do, and anyone who steps in the pulpit, we endeavor to preach and proclaim salvation in Christ in Him, and to publish the greatness of Christ and what He's done alone, and what He's done for sinners. We publish, which is tell, of who Christ is, very God of very God. We proclaim what He did. We proclaim why He did it. We proclaim where He is right now. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. So we publish and proclaim His precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we publish that one day, at this very name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. We praise and proclaim Christ's greatness. We praise and proclaim His goodness. We praise and proclaim His perfection. We praise and proclaim His salvation. We praise and proclaim His mercy. And we praise and proclaim Christ and Him alone. He is the only Savior for sinners. Job said this, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's what God's people say. Blessed be. Blessed be. We bless and praise the Lord for all His gifts of providence. We also bless and praise the Lord for His grace, which has been bestowed upon we who are undeserving sinners. We who are His people. We whom Christ died for upon Calvary's cross. And the last point is, His name is an object of worship. Genesis 4:26, And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos. And then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. And then in the New Testament, in Hebrews, turn if you would, to Hebrews 7. We'll finish with this. Hebrews 7. Man began to call upon the name of the Lord, it says in Genesis 4:26, and look it over in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 22 to 25. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them. God's people call upon the name of the Lord. He's the one who is able to save us. He's the one who is able to save them to the uttermost. I don't care how black your sin is. Oh, Christ can save any sinner who comes to Him. He does. And we're made well to come. And we absolutely rejoice. So may God's name be magnified. May it be proclaimed from this place. And may God's people leave this place with our hearts full of joy and peace. Joy and peace, which only comes from Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is only in Him. It's nowhere else. It's nowhere else. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne with thankful and grateful hearts. We who are redeemed by Your precious blood, undeserving sinners, we marvel in Your mercy towards us. We marvel that You chose us before the foundation of the world and that You drew us. We would never have sought You, Lord, but You drew us. Showed us our wonderful, merciful Savior. And Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for leaving the glories and splendor of heaven to redeem a people, a number that no man can number, but You know every one of Your sheep. We thank You and praise You for Your mercy and grace. And we look to exalt Your name, to publish Your name in Jesus' name.